weeks ago, we looked at the nature, the question, the reality of salvation. And I encouraged us as a congregation to reappropriate that term, that concept, that idea, the idea of salvation, to not be put off by it, but to try to reappropriate it, understanding that salvation means rescuing, delivering, healing, transforming, accepting, receiving, including. Salvation means all of these things and more, especially the ideas of accepting, receiving, and including. In salvation, God receives and accepts and includes us in the family of faith, in the kingdom of God, in the calling to be the people of God in a broken and hurting world. So I encouraged us to hear and to receive this message, the grace of God, which includes us, delivers us, incorporates us, and saves us. Last week we looked at Amen Faith, the Hebrew idea that faith is an action verb, yes, but even more so, it is a verb that contributes to, an action that contributes to, a willingness to be active in our belief to the point that it causes what we believe in to be true. It's a causative concept, amen faith. The word amen is the word for faith, the ultimate word for faith in Hebrew, meaning I will not only accept it and believe it, but I will place my body into action to make it true. And we used as our example Abram. It says in Genesis that Abram believed God, and that belief was accounted to him as righteousness. Well, that word belief there is weak. It's a terrible translation, but English doesn't really have a verb for faith that means the same thing as amen in Hebrew. What it says is he went to work. He went into action. He placed his belief into action and eventually made what he was promised true by acting in faith. And if you know anything about what was promised, that he would have children like the stars up in the heaven, that meant that he and Sarah had to go to work. Okay, you're dead. The concept of amen faith is simple. If you are going to sit there like a spiritual couch potato and do nothing, don't expect God to act. If you're going to sit there and do nothing, believe with your brain, but not place your life, your body into action, place your life on the line, and act as you believe, don't expect God to act. For God to act to provide children like the stars up in the heaven, for God to act to produce Isaac, Abram and Sarah had to act. All right, you got it. You got it. That's amen faith. Taking your belief and putting it into action to the point that it becomes causative. It causes what you believe to become true. It is your faith in God meeting God's faith in you and all coming together to produce the promises of God. And that's true in every aspect of our living. However, we come today to a problem. Because sometimes we just want to sit there like spiritual couch potatoes. I mean, it's easy to sit and watch, to believe. Think about the Olympics. I sat and watched the Winter Olympics as these skaters skate. Now, for me, to get up on skates and to move 20 feet without falling flat on my rear is a miracle, friends. These guys and gals do things that I couldn't even dream of doing. I would break my neck. Watching Apollo Ono race around and around and around and around. Those wipeouts that we saw would have been me in the first 2 seconds. To sit on a couch and watch it and be amazed by it is how most Christians want to go about their Christian lives. They just want to sit there on their spiritual couches, remote in hand. I was going to say beer in the other hand, but most of the Christians I'm talking about don't drink that. Sitting there, watching television, doing nothing. Not a thing. Producing nothing. They're like the tree in today's reading from the gospel. See here, the man says, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? About 3 years ago, I was in Kansas City at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, preaching at a district clergy meeting. And it was a clergy meeting dealing with Holy Communion, and I was teaching the communion study. And this was the passage that was appointed for reading. And I got to that point, and I looked out, and I says, we're all clergy here, right? All right. Let's be honest. I know that's a hard thing for clergy to do, but let's be honest with ourselves and with each other. How many of you, and I include myself in this question, how many of you do not believe that you can produce fruit, that you can be a faithful tree, that you in your ministry can do what God is calling you to do? How many of us here today doubt that we can do this? And 3/4 of the hands went up in the sanctuary, including professors and elders and deacons, 2 bishops, and the preacher. And the reason for that is simple. If we are truly honest with ourselves, we realize that we, by ourselves and by our own natures and by our own abilities, are incapable of doing anything. All we're capable of doing is sitting there on that couch, watching that spiritual TV, clicking the channels, enjoying the show, but producing nothing. We're like the fig tree with no fruit. It takes recognizing that God is our source of strength, our source of nourishment, our source of all that we do. It takes recognizing that, and not only recognizing it, but then amening it and actually putting ourselves into action to receive the grace, to receive the nourishment in order to then produce fruit. We have to be active, just as Abram and Sarah had to be active to produce Isaac in their faith, so also we have to be active to produce spiritual fruit. And one of the indictments I have of not just the United Methodist Church, but of, frankly, all denominations everywhere, everybody who calls themselves Christian, is too many of us are starving at the banquet of the Lord. Too many of us are not partaking of the means of grace. Now, there's an interesting metaphor here. Sir, let it alone. Let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can gut it down. No harm done. I think I grossed myself out in most of the clergy in that room when I said, but it's true. When I said our principal job as Christians, both the priesthood of all believers and the ordained clergy, our principal job is to be spreading manure. And the means of grace in the metaphor is the manure. Too many of us are busy stirring it. Stirring the, I wish I could use that German word. I'll use the English one, poop. We're too busy making messes to that first receive our spiritual nourishment, our spiritual fertilizer, and allow it to act in us to produce the fruit of sharing it with others. We're just standing there, not eating at the table, not singing the hymns, not praying, not reading scripture. Confession. I preach every week. I teach Bible study every week. I read the Bible every week to prepare for both. My own moment of confession today is, sadly, rarely do I read the Bible for anything else. I'm starving myself spiritually by not feasting on the Word of God. I'm starving myself spiritually because I'm using the Bible utilitarianly as an instrument to get my job done rather than swimming in it to be nourished, fulfilled, strengthened to grow. Oh, my sisters and brothers, so many of us in the church are starving ourselves and then wondering why we can't grow. The United Methodist Church is a good example of a church. Good, strong trees, great big forest of trees, starving ourselves of the means of grace and wondering where's the fruit. Usually there's two directions you can go. It's true for all heresies and most sins. Two directions you can go. Either hot or cold, one way or the other. Either we're starving ourselves of the means of grace and wondering why we're not producing fruit, or we're gorging ourselves on the means of grace and refusing to act in faith. Going to church, sitting in the pews, going to Bible studies, taking communion, all wonderful things. But then refusing to step out with faith and act and serve and spread that spiritual manure so others can be nourished. We're feasting and then not sharing. We're receiving but not giving. We go either direction with this one, friends. We're either hot or cold or left or right, doesn't matter. We're either starving ourselves and wanting to work and wanting to share, or we're gorging ourselves and refusing to work and refusing to share, usually out of fear. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if we learn nothing else in Lent this year, it's that we are called to turn outwards, to first receive, to feast, to be nourished, to have God spread His fertilizer in our lives, and then to turn around and go out and share that wonderful means of grace, the good news of the gospel in all of its manifestations, the fertilizer of God with all. As we move through the rest of Lent and on towards Holy Week, may we feast, swim in the Word, pray and sing hymns, participate in all the means of grace, feast at the table of the Lord, and then get up off the couch or the pew or the chair and go out and be about the business of sharing the love of God with all. That's what we're called to do as the body of Christ. And I'm going to warn you now. I'm going to ask you to say that wonderful Hebrew word in just a moment. When you say it, mean it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and let the people of God say, Amen. Sing for joy.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries.
Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved.
For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.